We're not looking for conflict, but I made absolutely clear that we will defend America's interest across the board.
President Biden shares his vision of Asia relations. It's Friday, April 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, New Zealand's new approach to Beijing, virtual diplomacy, vaccinating Broadway. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Through his first 100 days in office, U.S. President Joe Biden has preserved many key aspects of his predecessor Donald Trump's tougher approach toward China. Some U.S. allies in Asia, though, are still deciding whether to join Washington's effort to counter Beijing, as we hear from VOA's Bill Gallo in Seoul.
In his first speech to Congress, U.S. President Joe Biden mentioned one country more than all the others, China. Biden explicitly declared the U.S. is in a competition with China to win the 21st century, issuing a warning to its president, Xi Jinping.
I told him, we welcome the competition. We're not looking for conflict, but I made absolutely clear that we will defend America's interest across the board.
Under Biden, U.S. officials have confronted China over its military intimidation of its neighbors, controversial trade practices, and human rights abuses. In many ways, it's a continuation of Trump's approach, which led to the worst U.S.-China ties in decades. One big difference is that Biden has tried harder to get U.S. allies to join the cause. He recently held the first leaders' summit of an informal alliance the U.S. hopes can counter China. Even in that group, though, many are reluctant to directly confront Beijing. And some U.S. allies remain unsure about political turbulence in Washington, says analyst Robert Kelly.
I think a lot of them just took a wait-and-see approach to see if Trump was, you know, a really permanent, you know, sort of populist turn in American life or a one-off thing, and Trump lost.
Good to be back.
In his speech Wednesday, Biden said America is not only back, but is here to stay. Despite Biden's assurances, however, some allies aren't convinced the U.S. has fully put its America First ideals behind it, says South Korea-based professor Park Won-gun.
South Korea and other U.S. allies, especially liberal democratic countries, we have to prepare for this changing the world order. That means we are living in the decline of the U.S. power, and how do we restore this kind of world order, and at the same time, how can we architect, design the post-American order? So that's the important question to the U.S. allies.
It's an issue at the top of Biden's agenda for Asia and elsewhere. How to convince the world that America is predictable again. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Much of President Biden's first address to the joint session of Congress late Wednesday was devoted to his domestic plan, as he pitched ambitious infrastructure and jobs projects while casting government as a force for good. The American presidential tradition was noticeably different in many ways due to COVID protocols. VOA's White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara joins us with more.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
It still has pageantry, but due to the pandemic, President Joe Biden's address to the joint session of Congress was attended by only 200 people instead of the usual 1,600. His main message to the American people, that democracy and government can still deliver.
We're vaccinating the nation. We're creating hundreds of thousands of new jobs. We're delivering real results to people. They can see it, feel it in their own lives. Opening doors of opportunity, guaranteeing some more fairness and justice.
Biden pitched his $1.8 trillion American Families Plan to expand education and child care, financed partly through taxing wealthy Americans. That's on top of the $2.3 trillion infrastructure package he announced in March. For the first time, two women flanked an American president during his address to Congress, Vice President Kamala Harris and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, second and third in line of succession, respectively, marking a historical milestone in U.S. politics. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. India struggles with COVID-19 vaccination campaign amid new infection and death rates. Biden rallies skeptical allies to get tougher on China. China launches main part of its first permanent space station. Delegation of powers to Thai Prime Minister raises concern of authoritarian turn. California man found guilty in $100 million Afghanistan fraud scheme. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by our website. That's voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington with more VOA Asia. New Zealand says it is uncomfortable using the 70-year-old Five Eyes intelligence grouping, which includes the United States, Britain, Australia, and Canada, to criticize China. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports, some critics accuse the government in Wellington of selling out to Beijing.
The Five Eyes Alliance was formed in 1941 to share secrets during World War II. Now, however, disagreements within the US-led alliance are emerging about using the spy network to exert political pressure on China. New Zealand, the group's smallest member, has expressed reluctance to sign joint statements from its alliance partners, condemning Beijing's crackdown on the democracy movement in Hong Kong and its treatment of its minority Uyghur Muslim population in Xinjiang province. The declarations have infuriated China's government. New Zealand's Foreign Minister Nanaia Mahuta believes the Five Eyes Alliance isn't the best forum to voice those concerns.
Can I say we do value the Five Eyes relationship? We receive significant benefits from being a part of that relationship, and they are close allies and friends in terms of common values and principles. But whether or not that framework needs to be invoked every time on every issue, especially in the human rights space, is something that we have expressed further views about.
However, critics, including some British lawmakers and influential newspapers, have accused the government in Wellington of selling its soul to China. They accuse New Zealand, which earns about 29% of its export revenue from China, of choosing its economic ties with Beijing over a long-standing alliance with like-minded nations. Media commentators in New Zealand have described the dilemma, speak out against China and suffer economic damage, as Australia has found, or stay silent and see the end of a moral foreign policy of which the nation was proud. Australia experienced a decline in coal and wine exports to China due to tariffs and restrictions imposed by Beijing. Alexei Muravayev is the head of the Department of Social Sciences and Security Studies at Curtin University in the Australian city of Perth. He believes divisions within the Five Eyes network will benefit China.
When you see quarrels among long-established and trusted allies, it gives China confidence that its policies divide and rule, its policies of effectively buying people's and countries' loyalties through major investment, through special trade deals, through guaranteeing access to China's tourists, China's dollars, China's market, is working.
New Zealand is insisting the Five Eyes group remains vital for its border security, defence and cyber safety. Senior Australian and New Zealand government officials are due to meet next month to discuss the Five Eyes alliance and other bilateral issues. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, India's foreign secretary says imports of oxygen are a top priority, adding 40 countries have pledged their support as the country continues to see a spike in the daily number of COVID-19 cases. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We've made it to the end of the week. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. America's re-engagement with the world coincides with a weird new era, that of virtual diplomacy.
Since the pandemic made travel unsafe, world leaders have taken their diplomacy digital, opening up new possibilities for engagement, but also new concerns about fairness and transparency, and the occasional awkward moment. VOA's Anita Powell follows the story, virtually, of course, and has more from Johannesburg.
Diplomacy can be fraught at the best of times. At the worst of times, like in the middle of a pandemic, when leaders can't meet in person to hash out important issues, it can be excruciating. By now, millions of people around the world know the awkwardness of virtual meetings. But in meetings of global importance, virtualization raises some serious concerns. Long ago, so in 2019, major summits commonly drew civil society groups, protesters, and space for the smaller players to gather. Now, with everything online, more people can watch. But, says Mandeep Tawana of Civicus, the Global Civil Society Alliance, fewer people can actually participate and enjoy their freedoms of assembly and expression.
And online, these rights should be as equally available as they are offline. So that's critical. Secondly, we are also urging that when meetings are being organized by intergovernmental institutions, multilateral bodies, and so on, that they try to reach a vast swath of people. But most importantly, I think internet should be recognized as a very important human right.
But virtual diplomacy isn't going anywhere soon, says Brooke Spector, a former American diplomat turned journalist who has lived in South Africa for decades. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken went fully virtual for his first Africa trip this week, spending a day zipping electronically between high-level meetings in Kenya and Nigeria. Spector says the top U.S. diplomat adapted quickly to the medium.
To the extent to which Tony Blinken shows the same kind of ability and warmth through the camera that the president can manage to do, is going to stand him in good stead, because this, I suspect, is going to be the way of the world for quite a while. There'll be a lot fewer international visits and a whole lot more international consultations by way of the electronics.
But, Spector says, don't mistake the novel format for fresh, new, or even honest new content. One thing remains essential to diplomacy, no matter the medium: preparation. These engagements are just as rehearsed as they ever were, he says. Have to be.
Virtual diplomacy, it's like anything else. It's only as good as the staff work that precedes it.
Until the pandemic ends, and maybe beyond, virtual diplomacy is the world we're living in. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Now on VOA Asia, in an effort to bring Broadway back into the spotlight, New York City opened a new COVID-19 vaccination center for Broadway stage and screen workers. It's at Times Square. Evgeny Maslov has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
I won't quit till I'm a star on Broadway.
Actors from the Jersey Boys musical performing in front of an audience on Times Square. Wearing face shields, the mini show marks the start of the vaccination process for Broadway stage and screen workers.
What it means in this city, the theater, the music, the dance, the film and TV, it is our expression of everything that is New York City.
When Broadway theaters closed in March 2020, the city lost an estimated $14 billion in Broadway revenue, and it left over 100,000 people jobless.
To have to prepare with an unknowing end has been something that's been mentally challenging, physically and emotionally challenging.
You know, there's nothing like playing live music with your friends for a live audience, so I can't wait to get back to it.
This vaccination center in Times Square marks the beginning of Broadway coming back to life.
We want to gather again, and we want to tell stories in the dark. We cannot do that if we don't feel safe, and if you don't feel safe. So the first step in that process is getting our vaccination shots, and the next steps will follow.
Theaters hope to reopen their doors by September and start the slow process of healing, accompanied, as everything here, by music and dancing. For Evgeny Maslov in New York, NRI's VOA News.
Thanks for being with us today on VOA Asia. You may continue online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'd also like to thank our VOA Asia team, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.